be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, we ask that you bless everyone that is in this place today, that you would touch their lives, touch their bodies, touch their families, touch them in their minds, strengthen them, give them what they need, for we know that you are the answer to all that we need. We praise you now, God. You be our light, be our strength. Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, you give me clarity of thought, give me precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers, Lord God, let their hearts be the tablets today that I write the word of faith on, the word of God that brings healing and deliverance and power and peace to all that hear and believe and trust in you. We thank you, God. Father, after you've touched and helped and blessed all those that are among us and all those that we've prayed for, Lord God, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And we will join with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you right now in the matchless, mighty, miraculous, and marvelous name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to just simple title, topic, and a very simple message, if you will. It's not going to be so deep that you'll miss it. It's not going to be so easy and simple that you don't have to put in some work to do this. Amen. Amen. But want to, you know, from the series that we've been in, Wisdom for Life, because we need wisdom for life. I want to use today's thought title tag topic for this message is the power of the tongue. Amen. The power of the tongue. What you say gives you whatever you get. You got what you said. That's what you get. Tell somebody that's what you get. Whatever you're talking about, that's what you're going to get. If you're talking about failing, you're going to fail. If you're talking about not succeeding, you won't succeed. If you're talking about sickness, that's what you're going to have. I wish I had somebody here. If you speak the word of God, that his word is true and you believe it, that God said it, and that's all that matters is that what God said is true, no matter what the devil said or the doctor said or the liar said or the street committee said or I heard and they said, it doesn't matter. What matters is what the Lord has said. Now listen, there are going to be a lot of people because you're trying, you're not perfect yet because none of us are, but you're trying. There are going to be a lot of people that's not going to like you. They're going to remember your past. They're going to bring up whatever you ever done in your life. And guess what? They're going to say a lot of things, but it doesn't matter because of what God said. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you need to let them know. That's why I don't look at you like I used to. Because if I did, it'll be a time up in here. Oh, come on and say amen. That's why I don't look like I used to. I wish I had somebody. Yeah, you would rather me look like that than to look like I do now. But bless God that he spoke about me a long time ago. That I am a word that he spoke and I came to fruition. And here I am. Come on and say amen in this house. The increase, by the increase, the produce, what you yield from your mouth, the income is actually what comes out of your mouth. Yeah. Amen. So he said the gain or the revenue, what you got going on, how valuable is what you say? Let me tell you how valuable it is. It's so valuable that you should speak as if you're putting money in the bank. That's how you ought to speak as if you're putting money in the bank. If I say something, it's like putting money in the bank because I know that I'm going to be able to draw from that later on. Amen. Y'all still with me now? I have to know that I'm going to draw from that later on because whatever I said, it's like money because it's going to come back. Oh, y'all don't believe that. Okay, quit believing in karma and you'll believe what I'm saying. The Bible says that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also, y'all got that, okay. All right. And so stop talking about karma, but because karma is by chance. Nothing happens by chance. Do you know that there's not even a Hebrew word for coincidences and chances? There is not even a word to describe that. Everything is purposed by God. They say everything happens because this is the way God designed it. And so if you want it to happen in your life, you need to learn how to say it. And see, when I say learn how to say it, I ain't talking about just repeat because you heard somebody else say it. I'm talking about you need to learn how to say it. You need to know that this is the way I say it. And if you got to wonder how to say it, then you don't know yet. You got to say it with confidence. Look, Jesus, when he spoke the Bible, let me give you an example. Jesus said that the people believed Jesus. You know why? He didn't speak as the scribes and the Pharisees. He spoke as one with authority. And so if you're timid with what you have to say, if you're scared to open your mouth, I don't want the devil. If I say that, the devil going to come at me. He coming anyway. So when he come, you at least need to have something to meet him with. To let him know that he has no power here and no ability to overthrow you or to do anything to you. Because the Bible tells us that when the word is sown, that the enemy comes immediately to snatch it up, choke it up, take it out. But we got good soil right here. Lord, plant your word right here, because when the enemy comes, he won't be able to snatch it out. It's going to grow. And when it grows, I wish I had somebody. When it grows, it's going to produce fruit. I wish I had a few people here that say, I'm ready to produce what the Lord said I could. And when I open up my mouth, you better get ready, because when I open up my mouth, things are going to happen. I'm not some mediocre preacher. I'm somebody with a word. I'm somebody that got some power. I'm somebody that I ain't got to worry about whether or not it's going to happen, because I'm like Samuel. The Bible said that God told Samuel, he said, not a word from your mouth will fall to the ground, but I'm going to bring it to pass. If you can open your mouth and believe that God is all powerful, that believe that God will do what you say and what you say when he said do it, I wish I had somebody, then it will come to pass. I'm not ready to go there. I want to, but I got a few more things to say. I'm almost there, y'all. Y'all stay with me, though. I feel good about this. Increase of your lips. So you don't want to open your lips until it's some gossip. But we got to open our lips on the gospel. Amen. He says, the increase of your lips. Now, we will, you know, I know people that don't talk to nobody, but when it's time to complain, oh, boy, you can't hush them up. It's time for us to stop complaining and start claiming. We got to stop complaining about everybody else and everything and all the stuff in our life that ain't right and start claiming things that we want to see in our life. And then praise God for the stuff that is already right in our life. Why spend time complaining about stuff when God is you with abundance, while God has given you more opportunity than you ever had in your life, while he's opened so many doors, and we forget how he brought us through the flood. Oh, come on and say amen. We forget that he took us through the Red Sea. Oh, come on and say, because we ain't got no meat. You know how the children of Israel, they didn't have no meat. They had manna, and they forgot that God, the God that opened the Red Sea, could give them manna, could give them meat, and can give them water. Matter of fact, he didn't let their clothes get too little for them or their shoes get too old for them. And if God could do all of that, why doubt him? Like my grandma would say, I don't doubt him because I know too much about him. Anybody know as much as I know? Anybody know that he'll do whatever he has to do? He'll supply all your need. Not, he didn't say some of it. All. All your need. According to his, not according to how good you are, how much you can do, who you know, but he said according to his riches and glory. He said by the increase of your lips, you'll be filled. Hallelujah. You'll be satisfied. By the increase of your lips. We got to open our mouth to say the right things. Speak over your children. Yeah. We keep talking about all these, this, I don't know what the hell these cheering. Some of y'all might not talk like that. It's country folk. We do. We say, we don't know what's wrong with these children today. You know, grandparents said the same thing about you. I'm Generation X. I know they said it about us. Amen. What's wrong with them today? And instead of us complaining about them, why don't we get them to speak a word? Yeah. Trick them into the word. I'll never forget, my grandfather used to trick us into the word. Come read the Sunday school lesson to me. All right. You don't feel like reading it, but you're going to read it. He was a Sunday school teacher for over 50 years, and he said, read the Sunday school lesson to us. And not knowing that this is just a seed that's going to eventually take root. Because the Bible says one sow one water, but God gives what? And God will increase it. See, that's what we don't understand, that God will increase it once we get it in us. But we're trying to look for something right now. We're trying to look for it to happen right away. And God said, no, every seed that go in the ground, we got to get out of this microwave. God, I expect a microwave blessing. And just put it in, put it on 20 minutes or 5 minutes or 3 minutes, and then, poof, there it is. We want popcorn blessing. You know, I found out I can eat popcorn and still be hungry. But if I get a good meal that took about an hour and a half, 2-3 hours, better yet, if I get some good brisket that took about 4 or 5 hours, it'll hold me all day. Y'all don't hear me. If I just can get some good that God, that it takes me a while to get, I got it. Y'all eating Macalina's TV dinners, they called them microwave dinners. We used to call them TV dinners back in the day. But we want something from the Lord that's going to hold us down. Some people, I don't go to church. I'm on Facebook. I can get the word. I get off YouTube. You can't get the worship experience. The experience of feeling the presence of God and having God speak directly to you in a timely manner, it's so powerful that it'll make you become an addict to it. Yes. You know, you can tell a person who you know, when if they use drugs or alcohol, you can tell, because they ain't gonna just give it up after they use it. They're gonna try it again. Or else they really didn't inhale. We got some people that come here to try to get high of the Holy Spirit, and they don't really inhale. Y'all with me here? I'm trying to get to where you can understand it. So go on ahead, inhale, amen, and so that you'll understand and get addicted to the presence of God. Amen. Let me go on. Let me go on, because if I don't, I'll be too long. He said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death, the word death, that also means separation. So whatever God has for you, if you say the wrong things, it can separate you from the blessings. Amen. Separate you from your healing. It can separate you from your deliverance. It can separate you from whatever God has for you. Amen. Right? Death, amen, and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen. Life means abundance. Whatever God has for you. If you don't say the right stuff, you don't get it. You'll separate from it, or you can have it. Amen. It's in the power of the tongue. It's in the power and ability of what you have to say. Let's look at Mark 11:23. And I know I'm going to a couple of scriptures, but y'all stay with me here. It's saying the same stuff that I want to say here. And Mark 11:22-23 says, and Jesus answered unto them. This is after he walked by a fig tree, after the fig tree looked like it should have had figs on it and it didn't. Let me tell you something. Don't try to fool God. That's the lesson. Don't you try to fool God. Amen. Because he will curse you. He walked by the fig tree, and the fig tree had no figs. Jesus said, all right, since you want to fool me, no more can any man eat from you, and walked on. He didn't spend time trying to wait and see if the fig tree was going to drop. He just went on about his business. And the next day on the way out, they seen the same fig tree. And the same fig tree that he spoke about the day before had withered up and died. I mean, all the way. You know, we see trees and stuff that die, and it takes them a while to wither up. But because of the word of God is so powerful, when you take the word from something, it dies. That ought to tell us something right there. When you don't have the word, you die spiritually. Come on and say amen. And so Jesus said, answering them, Peter said, look at the fig tree. And Jesus said in verse 22, and said unto them, have faith in God. That's the first thing we need. We need to have faith in God, not faith in your brother or sister, because let me tell you something, they will let you down. They will not be there for you. And look, God sometimes let it be that way. He sometimes moved them out of the way so he can deal with you, because we've been dependent on people so much that we can't look for God. He says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's what he said. Now, He said a whole lot more under the surface if we dig in. Now, when we look at the word say in the text, it is the word epo, which means a command. He said, if you can command, if you can speak, if you can open up your mouth and speak to the mountain. Now, what is the mountain? The mountain represents whatever is keeping you from seeing your promise. The mountain is whatever it is that's in your way, blocking your view so that you can't get to, or blocking your progress so that you can't get to where God wants you to be. Now, you can climb the mountain if you want, but it's more strenuous to climb the mountain than to just speak to the mountain. So why would I say, Lord, don't move the mountain, give me the strength to climb? I'm not saying that. I'm saying, mountain, get out of my way, cast in the sea. You know what that means? That means when I speak to the mountain, it is dissolved, and never, ever will I see it again. I wish I had somebody. Oh, but we keep facing the same situation. We really hadn't commanded it then. We just getting by. We keep seeing it time and time again. Come on and say amen here. And he says, if you say it, amen, if you command it, if you epo, command in the Greek. And he says, not only that, but he says, you shall have whatever you shall say it. The word say it in the Greek is the word Lego, as like the Lego blocks, the building blocks that we use when we buy the children. You know, you go buy the box, and outside the box, airplane. But inside the box is just pieces. So the word of God is pieces. But you can have what's on the box if you open the box and put it to, if you put the blocks in the right place, if you put the word in the right place, line upon line, precept upon precept, then you can have. That's all right. Speak to your mountain. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. We got to know this. We have to know not only that, but he said, and they that love and shall eat the fruit thereof. You're going to eat it. You know how they say you had to eat crow? Because you said something, now you got to eat an unclean bird. You said something you shouldn't have said. Now you got to go back and eat crow. That's what. Or either you can say something and whatever it is good, and you can say, I'm feasting off this. Because what I said, now I got abundance. I got just what I need. Y'all still with me here? Let's go. I'm going to go on. He says in James chapter 3, verse 5, even as the tongue is a little member, but boasts great things. Now, great things, right there where it says boasted great things, what he's not saying that that's bad. He's saying that when the tongue speaks, it's a great matter. It's important when the tongue speaks. He said, behold, how great a little fire kindled. A greater matter, a little fire kindled. In other words, he said the tongue, even though it's small, it can do some powerful things. Yeah. Just like a person thumping a cigarette out the window, going down the highway, and it causes a forest fire. That's how the tongue is. Just something that small can cause some situations in your life. And he says the tongue is as a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue of our members that it defiled the whole body and set it on fire, the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. If you can't get your tongue right and tame your tongue, it can mess you up and bring hell to your life. It can set on fire the course of nature, and it can bring hell to you. Come on and say, man. We think that the devil's always doing something, but the devil's standing back saying, I wasn't even at your house last night, but it was what you said. Y'all with me here? It was what you said that got this hell in your life. He wasn't even in your neighborhood, but you blaming the devil, and it's all because you kept opening up your mouth and you sowed bad seed and you sowed discord. And so all of a sudden, all this stuff started to come back to you, because God can't be mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Come on and say amen. And so we got all this hell, and we can't see our way out, but then we got to learn how to speak our way out. When you can't see your way out, tell your neighbor, speak your way out. I'm going to speak my way. I can't see how I'm going to get out of this, but I'm speaking the word of God. That I know that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I can't see my way out, but I'm speaking the word of God. I know that the enemy, when it comes in like a flood, that the spirit of God will lift up a standard. Do I have anybody in the house here? Oh, come on and give God some praise. He says that the tongue, he says that for every kind of beast, the bird, and of the serpents, and of things in the sea, and is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue, who can tame it? It's unruly, it's evil. and full of deadly poison. But let me tell you how to tame the tongue. It's by putting the right stuff in your heart. You got to put it in your heart in order to tame the tongue. If you got the wrong stuff in your heart, or even if you ain't got nothing in your heart, you're gonna have a time trying to tame the tongue. The Bible says that when Jesus, in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible said that Jesus came, that God came, and Isaiah was in the temple on the day or on the year that King Uzziah died, and the train of the Lord filled the temple, and the first thing that he said was, "Woe is me." The word woe in the Hebrew is ooh-wee, and he said, "Ooh-wee, I'm in trouble." Come on and say amen here. He said, "Ooh-wee, O-W-Y, ooh-wee, I'm in trouble because I've seen the Lord." He thought he was about to die. He said, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live with people of unclean lips." Isaiah knew what the problem was. He knew that the problem is how we talk. He knew the problem was what he said. And he said, "Woe is me because of what I've been saying and because I've been around the people who don't talk the right thing either." He said, "Woe is me." Some of us in the house today, go ahead and say, "Ooh, we, woe is me. I've been saying some wrong stuff. I've been talking about what I shouldn't have been saying. I wish I had somebody." But glory be to God. The Bible says that one of the seraphims, that he took a coal from the altar of sacrifice, and he brought it and put it on his lips and cauterized his lips because there was a problem in his mouth. God said, "The first thing I'm going to do for you is I'm going to change the way you talk. I'm going to change how you speak." I wish I had somebody. When God deals with you, he first deals with how you talk. That's why when you come to Jesus, you start saying, "I want to stop cussing. I want to stop lying." And the first thing he deals with is what you say, because what you say can defile the whole body, can mess up everything in you. I wish I had somebody that understood what I was saying. We got to know what to say. We got to know when to say it. We got a whole bunch of people that don't know what to say. We just feel like opening up our mouth. Wait on wisdom. Wisdom says that we need to hold our tongue. The Bible tells us that he said, "Be swift to hear and slow to speak." That's why he gives us two ears and one mouth. I need to do twice the listening than I need to do the talking. Tell somebody. Hush and listen. Oh, it'll bless your soul. Come on and give God some praise. But the power of the tongue will bring things to my life that I couldn't have on my own. I can't work for it. I wish I had somebody. I can't manipulate for it, but I got to speak for it. I got to call those things that be not as though they were. The Bible says that who against hope, that he believe in hope. And what does hope do? Hope tells faith what to expect. So in other words, when I open up my mouth, I tell my faith what I need to expect. Do I have any witnesses? Come on and say yes in here. Oh, I'm about to go ahead to my close. It says in the word that Jesus said, he showed us by example that if you speak a word, that whatever you speak will happen. He spoke to the fig tree and it dried up. He spoke to the disciples and even Peter didn't want to accept it. And that goes to show you that when you speak something, everybody ain't going to accept it. Not even your closest friends. But you got to speak the word. Jesus spoke a word. He said, if you tear the temple down, y'all don't hear me here. If you tear it down, I'll build it up in 3 days. Do I have anybody that understand what he said? Jesus said, go ahead and tear it down. Come on and shout yes. The Bible says, no man take my life, but I lay it down. What did Jesus mean? Somebody say they killed him, but they didn't kill him. Because when they got to him, he said, Father,
into thy hand. I commend my spirit. Do I have anybody that say, I'm going to speak a word? Come on and shout yes. Jesus spoke a word. He gave up the ghost. He said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Somebody said, he called on Elijah. Somebody else said that God forsook him. But why would God forsake him when he already knew it? Why would God forsake him when he was God? Y'all don't hear me. But the reason he said, Eli, Eli, Sabbathani, was meaning, my God, why have thou forsaken me? The reason he said it, because he was quoting a scripture. If you read Psalm 22, you'll realize that's what he was doing. He was speaking a word while he was hanging on the cross. That is an example that whatever you're going through, if you're hanging on your cross, I know they crucified you. I know they put a crown on your head. I know they labeled you, but it don't matter what they labeled you, because you just hang on in there. I know what they said about you. I know how they beat you down. I know how they whipped you down. Thought you wasn't going to come back. But the Bible says that Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead. How many know he didn't stay dead? Because early, say early, Sunday morning, he got up, all power, he resurrected. Now what does the word resurrected mean? It means to show up where people don't expect you to. He showed up in the upper room, walked right through the wall. He showed up on the Sea of Galilee. Somebody say yes. He showed up when Daniel was in the lion's den. He showed up. Somebody say yes. When the Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace. And guess what else? He showed up in my life when they counted me out. When people wrote me off. God wiped me off and set me back up. Somebody say yes and give God some praise. It doesn't matter who don't believe. Come on and shout glory. But resurrection is on the way. I know they crucified you. I know they counted you out. But tell them it's all right. Because Jesus, the power of God, the Holy Ghost, the power of the Almighty will lift me up. And so I'm so glad. I'm so glad that every time I turn around, I say, the Lord, anybody know the Lord keeps making a way. Say yes. Say yes. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he open doors? Been shut in your face. Won't he make a way where there was no way? Won't God make your enemy your footstool? Won't he do it? Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? I said, do you know he's all right? Well, help me close it. I want to celebrate a bit. So help me celebrate. Tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, there's power in the tongue. I got something to say. Tell your other neighbor. I was talking to the wrong neighbor, but maybe you can rejoice because I'm ready to rejoice. Tell that neighbor. Say, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not know two things, but one thing I know. Is he all right? He's all right to live with. But more importantly, he's all right to die with. Say yes. Say yeah. Say yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's power of the tongue. That's power in your confession. He said confession is made unto salvation. If I can speak it, that's why the devil don't want you to talk. That's why he make you feel like I don't need to say nothing. But I dare you to speak. Because when you open your mouth, it frees you up. It liberates you to open your mouth. That's why they say, you want to talk about it? Yeah, go ahead and talk about it. But don't talk about it in defeat. Talk about it in victory. Oh, yeah, we have the victory. Victory is in Jesus. Glory be to God. Come on, shout glory. Shout glory. Yeah. Yeah. Ah, yeah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to his name. Power.